We are going through the chapter Mulatafatul Yatimi wal Banat wa Sa'id al-Du'afati wal Masakin wal Munkasirin wal Ihsani ilayhim wa Shafqati alayhim wa Tawadu'i ma'ahum wa Khafdil Janahi lahum. The chapter of the benevolent treatment towards the orphan and the girls and the weak ones and the poor and needy, and those who are humble, and showing gentleness and kindness towards them, and showing sympathy towards them, and lowering your wings for them. So last week, we went through some of the hadith in this chapter that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted. Now we come to the third hadith of this chapter, the hadith that is narrated by Sahl bin Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, أنا وكافر اليتيم في الجنة هكذا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I and the one who takes care of an orphan will be in Jannah like this. وَأَشَارَ بِالسَّبَابَةِ وَالْوُسْطَى. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gestured with his index finger and his middle finger. وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam left a bit gap in between the two fingers. So very close, showing that the one who takes care of an orphan and he takes the responsibility of bringing up an orphan, he will be with me in Jannah. The next hadith is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, similar hadith in which he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, كافر اليتيم له أو لغيره. The one who takes care of an orphan, the orphan that belongs to him, is related to him, أو لغيره, or the orphan that is not related to him, it's not from amongst his relatives. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the care of the orphan and myself will be like these two fingers in Jannah. So if we were to combine both hadith, we learn the virtues of taking the responsibility of bringing up an orphan child. Yatim, according to the deen of Allah, according to Sharia, is a child who has lost his father before reaching the age of puberty. That is known as yatim. And when the child reaches the age of maturity and puberty, the child, from fiqh point of view, is not yatim anymore. Likewise, if the child has lost mother, then he is also not classed Islamically, or according to the fiqh point of view, is not classed as yatim. Yatim is the one who has lost his father, because father is the one who is mainly responsible for his provision. So he has lost someone who could provide for him. So now he needs someone who can take care of him, someone who can take the responsibility of providing for him. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana wa kafirul yateem. I and the care and the responsible for the yateem, and the one who takes the responsibility of bringing up the yateem and orphan, we both together will be like these two fingers in Jannat al-Firdaus. So this is a great virtue of bringing up an orphan child. It can be a boy, it can be a girl. So either way. And the virtue, and this high and great virtue of being with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indicates that this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highly encouraged. And the reason being, as the scholars have said, Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself grew up as an orphan. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam lost his father before coming into this dunya, before his birth. So he was born as an orphan. And the one who takes care of an orphan, it is as if he takes care of someone who is a similar situation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why he is going to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the honor and the virtue of honoring an orphan. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, bal la tukrimun al-yateem. Nay, you people, you do not honor and you do not respect the orphan, which indicates that taking care of an orphan must be in a way that it's honorable way, with full and complete respect and dignity. If you have taken the responsibility of sponsoring an orphan, you should take the responsibility fully, and you should not belittle the orphan simply because the orphan child has lost his father or a girl has lost her father. Rather, you should treat an orphan child the way you treat your own son and your own daughter. This is the meaning of ikramul yateem, that you honor and you respect the orphan. And as for those who do not take care of the orphan, and those who belittle them, those who disgrace them, and those who even take the advantage of their vulnerability, then they are committing major sin. Major sin. As Allah says, again within Surah Al-Fajr, Kalla balla tukrimun al-yateem. Wala tahadduna ala ta'amil miskeen. Wata'kuluna turatha aklal lamma. You people try to eat up the inheritance of the orphans completely. You take the advantage of them. And unfortunately, this is something that is still practiced amongst Muslims, within so-called Muslims, who take the advantage of the orphans within their family, within their relatives, amongst their relatives. And sometimes they are taken advantage by those who are very close and those who are expected to take care of the orphans, such as the paternal uncles and maternal uncles, and sometimes even grandparents. They take the advantage of those orphan boys and girls. When they lose their father, they are taken advantage of. And this is one of the major sins. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Verily, those who eat up the wealth of the orphans, they do not eat up the wealth of this dunya, rather they fill their bellies with the fire of hell. وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. And they will be thrown in the blazing fire on the Day of Judgment. When it comes to taking care of an orphan, you must be careful that you do not oppress them. You do not take away any of their rights. And you do not take advantage of their vulnerability in any form or shape. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. He says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى. When the companion Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in heard the virtues of taking care of an orphan, and on the other hand, they heard By the blessing tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the punishment of eating up the rights of the orphans, they became scared. They were afraid. They got worried. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in the Quran. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these people ask you about the orphans. قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ So some of those companions, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, they got so worried, so much so, they said, it is better for us to cook the food for the orphan separately. Keep everything separate, not to mix their wealth with our wealth, so that we do not take any single penny from their wealth to that extent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, these people ask you, and obviously it has become very, very difficult for them. Practically, it is something that's impossible. So if you have taken the responsibility of taking care of an orphan, and the orphan is living with you within your house, then how can you separate him? How can you separate his food and his clothing and his bed and everything? It is practically impossible. So some of those companions, Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in, they found it very difficult. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what to do. They were so scared. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى These people ask you about the orphans. قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ Say to them, reply to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking care of them and making sure and taking care of their welfare is something that is good. It is one of the best deeds. وَإِن تُخَالِطُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ And if they mix, and if you mix, and if you allow them to mix with you, then they are your brother within the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't need to worry about me. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَأَعْنَتَكُمْ If Allah wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made it very, very difficult for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who has the sincere intention to take care of the orphan with sincerity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is willing to take the advantage of the orphan. So it all depends on your intention and your sincerity. So the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, when they got worried, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, which gave them a bit of relief. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُم مِّنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the instruction to those who take the responsibility of taking care of an orphan. Allah says, make sure you safeguard and protect their wealth until they reach the age of maturity. And when they reach the age of maturity, then you hand over the wealth to them. And then while you are taking care of their wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed, he said, مَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ Whoever is rich enough and he does not need to take anything from the wealth of the orphan, he must stay away from it. وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And the person who is taking care of an orphan, if the person himself is poor, then he's allowed to take something from the wealth of the orphan. Well, but Allah said, فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ It has to be with ma'roof. Something that suffices him. And he should not take the advantage. فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ And when an orphan has reached the age of maturity, you hand over the wealth to them and you hand over whatever is their right and whatever belongs to them, you hand over to them. فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ Make sure you have witnesses there as well. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient to hold you to an account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed many instructions with regards to taking care of the orphans. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised the person who takes care of an orphan, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is responsible for looking after the welfare as well as the wealth of the orphan, he must not leave the wealth without investing it somewhere where the wealth can grow. He should not leave it like that until the zakah is taken away every year from the wealth of the orphan. And the warning of the hadith is hatta la ta'kulahu sadaqa. So he should not leave it without investing, without benefiting himself and benefiting the orphan, so that the zakat eats up the wealth of the orphan over the years. So this is another instruction for the care of the orphan, that if you are responsible, because orphan, and also what we learn from these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that orphan doesn't have to be poor if you want to take care of him. It can be someone belongs to a rich family. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the orphan, they have their own wealth, but they are not mature. They are so young, so they cannot utilize their wealth in a wise manner. So they need someone who can protect their wealth. They themselves are wealthy. But the one who takes care of the wealth of the orphan, would he get the reward of this according to this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, he will. And this is probably one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he made the mention of the various categories of zakah, he did not mention the orphans amongst them. Because orphan, not always poor. Orphan child can be a rich child, can be someone who belongs to a rich and wealthy family, but he needs help and guidance and protection. So all of these included within the kafala, or within taking care of the orphan. And if you do so, then the reward is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be with him in Jannah. And the second hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala, says, kafirul yatimi lahu aw li ghayrihi. The one who takes care of an orphan, whether the orphan belongs to him, is related to him, or the orphan is not related to him, so there is no difference in reward. Reward is same, which means that you may be living in the UK and you are taking care of an orphan in another country and sponsoring an orphan through a charity. This is one of the ways. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very easy for us. There are people out there who take the responsibility of providing the shelter, food, provision, everything, and education to the orphans. All we need to do, just to set up direct debit or standing order in order to take care of all the expenses and the cost of taking care of an orphan. So the one who is taking care of the orphan physically, he will get the reward, and the one who is covering the cost, he will get the reward as well. That this is also included within kafala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to be amongst those who honor the orphans, those who take care of orphan, whether amongst their relatives or other than relatives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. The next hadith is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْمِسْكِينَ الَّذِي تَرُدُّهُ التَّمْرَةَ والتمرتان ولا اللقمة واللقمتان إنما المسكين الذي يتعفف. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, miskeen is not a person who is turned away by giving him one or two dates or one or two morsels. Rather, the miskeen is the one who is in need of help, but he does not beg. So when we look in the ayah of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the mention of the various categories of zakah, he said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Zakah is for fuqara and masakin. Fuqara is the plural of faqir, and masakin is plural of miskin. So what is the difference between faqir and miskin? There is difference. That is why they are two separate categories. There are eight categories of those who deserve zakah. The first one is fuqara, and the second one is miskin. Faqir is someone who does not have enough provision. Someone who does not have enough provision. Someone who does not have, perhaps does not have food. Someone who does not have anything. He is called faqir. Miskeen is someone who is not in need of food or his provision, but he is someone who does not beg. He is in dire need of help, financial help, but he does not beg. So the scholars have said al-miskeen is someone who is okay with his daily provision. He knows that he has enough food for himself and for his family, but anything extra he cannot afford. For example, when it comes to travel, he does not have money to travel. And when it comes to purchase, for example, a medicine, if someone falls ill within his family or himself falls ill, he does not have money to purchase medicine. So he's miskeen. So miskeen is not the one who is in need of a bit of food. Rather, miskeen is someone who is in need of financial help, but in addition to that, he does not beg. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these type of people who are in need, but they do not beg. They do not ask for help actively. Yes, people around them, they find out, they help them, alhamdulillah. Although it is not impermissible for them to seek help and to ask for help, it is perfectly fine. But because of their dignity, because of their honor, because of the afaf, they do not want to beg. Rather, they want to keep themselves within their situation so that people do not belittle them and people do not disgrace them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْمِسْكِينَ الَّذِي تَرُدْهُ التَّمْرَةُ وَالتَّمْرَتَانِ وَلَا اللُّقْمَةُ وَاللُّقْمَتَانِ إِنَّمَا الْمِسْكِينَ الَّذِي يَتَعَفَّفُ. Rather, miskeen is the one who stays modest and he does not beg people. Next hadith, the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as well, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, السَّاعِي على الأرملة والمسكين كالمجاهد في سبيل الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الساعي على الأرملة والمسكين. The one who makes his efforts to take care of the widowed, and he tries to look after the welfare of the miskeen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such person is kal mujahidi fi sabilillah. He is like a mujahid in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who is striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala says, wa ahsibuhu. And I think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, wa kal qa'im alladhi la yaftur. Such person who day and night, every single day, he is in his attempt to take care or help the widows and the masakin and the poor and yatama and the orphans. He's always looking after the orphans and the poor and needy and the widows. He is like the person, al-qa'im alladhi la yaftur, the one who spends whole night standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his night prayer without taking a rest. وَكَالصَّائِمْ الَّذِي لَا يُفْطِرْ. And he is like a person who fasts every single day and he does not miss any fast. Subhanallah. The one who looks after, the poor and the needy, the widows, orphans, he gets the reward without offering the night prayer. He gets the reward of the person who offers a night prayer throughout the night without taking a rest. He gets the reward of someone who goes out and fights in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets the reward of someone who fasts every single day throughout the year without missing a day. Subhanallah. Such a great reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to be part of these kind of noble acts. That is why it is always good to get involved in the charity work. And then the charities, obviously what the charities do, they help the poor and the needy and the orphans and the widows. So you help them and you get involved. And whatever you do, then you get the reward for, you'll get the reward of the mujahid and the al-qa'im and al-sa'im. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. The next hadith is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as well. Again, highlighting the value and the significance and the importance of the masakeen and the virtues of masakeen within the community. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, شَرُّ الطَّعَامِ الْوَلِيمَةِ يُمْنَعُهَا مَنْ يَأْتِيهَا وَيُدْعَى إِلَيْهَا مَنْ يَأْبَأُهَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يُجِبِ الدَّعْوَةَ فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the evilest or the worst type of food is the food يُمْنَعُهَا مَنْ يَأْتِيهَا, that the one who is in need of food, he is prevented and he is pushed away. وَيُدْعَى إِلَيْهَا مَنْ يَأْبَهَا, and the one who does not really want to attend and he does not want to attend their gathering or dinner or food, he is insisted to attend. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such gathering for food is the worst type of gathering. And the word in the hadith is walima. Generally we call walima is, you know, wedding event, but in Arabic, walima is any kind of event where you invite people to have a meal together. That is called walima. Any kind of gathering in which you invite people to have meal together. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the worst type of gathering for having meal together is the gathering in which you push away the people who are in need of food. Meaning what? The fuqara and masakeen, the poor and needy. You don't want them to attend. Okay? Rather, you want to boast by inviting those wealthy people who do not have even time. You insist, you beg them to attend. Please come to my wedding. Please come to my gathering. Please, you beg them and you insist and you request them. And they continue saying, Man ya'baha, the Prophet ﷺ said, they refuse. And unfortunately, to a certain extent, we see this. We see this within our community, in the wedding events, or other than wedding events. You try to invite the people who are already wealthy, and they are not in need of food, but your purpose and your intention is to invite them in order to show off, in order to show to others that you have big contacts. You have links with such a wealthy and rich people, and you do not want to be seen within your community that you are linked to poor and masakeen and the needy people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such a gathering and such a meal is the worst type of meal, is evilest of meal. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُجِبِ الدَّعْوَةَ فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever is invited for a walima, for a gathering, to have meal together and to get together, and particularly walima, the wedding food, that the Prophet ﷺ said, who is invited and he does not accept the invitation, فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, he has indeed disobeyed Allah and his messenger ﷺ. Which shows the significance and importance of attending an event when you are invited. And don't, unfortunately, there are some people out there who do not want to attend these kind of gathering so that people get together and people get to know them because of their high status, without, you know, because of their position or because of their authority. Okay? So they do not want to attend any gathering within the community. So they do not want to mix with the general masses, with the general people. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is invited for an event, for a dinner, and he does not attend, فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, he has disobeyed Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from this you can see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the importance to the poor and needy, as well as having that unity within the community so that people always get together without any kind of discrimination, without having the differences between the rich and wealthy and between the poor and needy. Rather, they're all together. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the six rights of a Muslim upon Muslim is that whenever you are invited for a gathering, for a meal, you must accept the invitation. And sometimes, wealthy people, rich people, they are invited by the poor. And don't refuse them. Don't refuse the invitation simply thinking that they are not of your level or you are higher than them. Rather, you must accept. That is why the Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُجِبِ الدَّعْوَةِ فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever does not accept the invitation, he has disobeyed Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, another version of the hadith says, بِئْسَ الطَّعَامُ طَعَامُ الْوَلِيمَةِ. The worst food is the food of the walima. يُدْعَى إِلَيْهَا الْأَغْنِيَاءُ وَيُتْرَكُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. That the rich people are invited for the walima, but the fuqara and the masakeen are left. They are not invited because of their poverty, because of not having wealth, because of not being rich. So Islam does not discriminate between the poor and the rich. And this is something that we learn every single day, at least five times every single day. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one single row, there may be a person who is millionaire and another person who is penniless. Both standing together. Both praying together, both saying Allahu Akbar together, both doing qiyam, ruku, sujood, tashahud together. And in some cases, you may have an imam who is poor and needy, and the one who is praying behind the imam is so wealthy and rich. But when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no difference. There's no difference. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept this. May Allah dhul jalali ikram give us tawfiq and ability to learn His religion and to act upon it. Innahu sami'un qareebun mujib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.